Okay, good morning, Masechet Shabbos, Daf Yutet, Yom Tov. Yutet is Yom Tov. Today is a Yom Tov, everybody. It's actually a fast day, but nonetheless, it's a Yom Tov, Al-Aira, right? And so we saw in the bottom of Yutchet Amud Bet, Tan Rabbanan. The Gemara is carrying on now with the different machlokot of Tibet Shammai Hillel about what you can and can't do with a goy Erev Shabbos, or even Erev Shabbos, only with a goy, without a goy. We'll see a couple of examples. Most like this, Beit Shammai Omrim, Lo yim kor adam cheftzo lenochri, ele im ken yodea bo shiichale kodem ha-pesach dirav et shama. So here we're speaking about chometz. Okay? Mamash inyane de yoma. Here we go Pesach in a few weeks. Says over here, lo yim kor adam chemtzo. Chemtzo here is chometz, right? Is chometz to a goy. Unless you know the goy will finish eating the chometz before Pesach. As far as Beit Shammai is concerned, once it was your chometz, can't be eaten on Pesach. The goy has to finish eating on Pesach. Obviously, the heter mechira wouldn't have applied by Beit Shammai, right? He's not holding a heter mechira, right? But Hillel omrim kol zman shemuta lochlo muta lemochve. Hillel says no. As long as you can eat the chometz, you can sell the chometz. It's yours. If you're allowed to eat it, you can sell it. Rabbi Yehuda omer kutach abavli v'chol minay kutach asur limkor 30 yom kodem haPesach. So now Rabbi Yehuda sort of comes into the middle here and says that he's not arguing about chometz as a rule, like Beit Shammai. He's not being as maker as Beit Hillel. But he says, kutach abavli, what's kutach? We come across it a lot in Shas. We've seen it a ton of times as kutach, because kutach is always used like as the classic milchik dish. We really want to discuss milchiks. We talk about kutach, right? Ira's nodding his head, right, as he eats his kutach, right? That, right, he says, kutach abavli, v'chol minei kutach. What's Kudrashi says here? Kutach abavli, notnin bo chametz. So it's got chametz in it. Remember Be'elu Ovrin? It says, v'eino asui le'chol yachad le'tpol bo. It's not really made as a meal to eat, as a dish. It's a dip, right? V'eino kale adzman meruba, and lasts for a long time. It's obviously got like some sort of preservatives in it. I don't know, maybe vinegar or whatever the case is, and that makes it last. So therefore, it lasts for a long time. So Rabbi Yehuda says that normal chometz, if you sell to the goy, you know there's a good chance that food has a lifespan, you know, a couple of days, a week, whatever the case is. But this stuff can last for a long time. So therefore, but this be more careful selling to a goy. Okay, and that seems to be the case. It doesn't look to me like that is the halacha. Looks like the halacha here, if anybody's got a stand out and read the halacha, it seems like the halacha is like by Hillel, and as long as you can eat, you can sell. And I'm assuming that because we know that we have heter mechira, we sell to a goy everything, right? We don't limit that. All right, let's carry on. Gemara carries on. Tabanan, notnin mezonot lifnei hakelev b'chatzer. Now we're discussing back on Shabbos. So now on Shabbos, you can put food for the dog in the yard, right? If the dog takes it and goes out, and now he's basically doing hotza'ah from one rishut, he's taking it out into the public space on Shabbos, and niskak, you have to go and stop the dog. Okay, now look, Rashi says over here very quickly. The shloshim yom, just worth looking at that Rashi. I'll skip that one Rashi there. It says there, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't sell the kutach to the goy 30 days before Pesach. Why 30 days? What's Pesach? Why 30 days? Look at Rashi there. He says, Mishem matchilini drosh bilchud haPesach, chala azra Pesach alav. We know that if neach doshin, right, lomdim doshin lachag, 30 yom lachag, basically from Purim, you start learning about Pesach and all the chagim. He says, from the moment that you start getting into learning about the halachas, you already have to become aware of it, and that is a good way to remember Rabbi Yehuda Shitta. Okay, so now we're talking about the dog. So now we're discussing the dog over here. So it says, if you've got a dog, you feed the dog. If he goes out the yard, not your problem. The Gemara says, similarly, the writer brings another example. You can also put food out for a goy in the yard. Right? In the Klovi Yatza, if the goy takes it out the yard, and he's cooking, you have to make him bring it back. Say, listen, you can't take it out. It's Shabbos. Right? So the Gemara's got a question over here. I'm going to come back in a second. All of you just start finding, there's a Tosfot there, which the very first Tosfot on the Amud, about 6-7 lines up, it starts, Hey Nun, Hachinami Havel Elemeisar Benochri. We're going to come back to that Tosfot in a second. Just find it. Let's just quickly see what's going on over here. The one says, Hi to Lamali, why do I need this example of the dog and the goy? Right? Hi Nuhach, it's the same din at the end of the day. Why teach it to be different? The one says, No, we need to teach it differently. Why? Mahulita, what would you have thought? Hi Rami Lale, Vahalo Rami Ale. Right, look at Rashi there. Rami Ale. If you go, there's a Rashi there. I'm pretty sure I saw Rashi there. Rami Ale. Kelev, right? Look at the word Kelev, the third line of Rashi at the top there. Rami Alele Zonot, your responsibility. The dog we're speaking about, yeah, it's your dog. And dogs can't feed themselves. You got to feed the dog. So that it was not the dog's fault that it's Shabbos, right? So you got to bring the dog food on Shabbos. The Gemara said, what would you have thought? You thought maybe the dog is your responsibility to feed, and therefore you can feed him. And but the goy is not your responsibility to feed. Feed himself. If he's your Eved, it's a different story altogether, right? If he's an Eved, even if it's Eved Knani, then he's got certain dinim on Shabbos as well. Then he probably couldn't take this food out into the goy. We're not talking about an Eved, we're talking about a goy. So the Gemara said, no, we're speaking about both. In both cases, it's your responsibility to feed the dog and the goy. Now look at this Tosfot, an amazing Tosfot over here. Look at Tosfot towards the end of Tosfot, the thick, the heavy blinds of Tosfot. It says, we should have really made it Asur the Nochri. So how come with the Nochri, with the Goy, we could give him the food Erish on the Chatz and he can take it out, we have to worry about it. Where's our responsibility to feed a Goy? So it says, V'yesh lomar, a possible answer could be, Kevan de mefar nesim aniye Nochrim im aniye Yisrael. We don't distinguish between poor. When we come to, when poor person arrives, we give a poor Goy and a poor Jew. It's unbelievable this. Why? Look at this. Mishum darche shalom. For darche shalom. If we never gave goyish, poor goy and thing, they'd kill us. They killed us with poor goyim anyhow. When we gave the poor goyim, how much more so? If they said, you only look after the Jews in your town, not after the poor goyim, they'd come and they'd kill you. It would be a big story. Tosfot says, Darche Shalom, Chashiv Ketzat. Therefore, there's a little bit of an element over here of Mezonotav Elecha. There's a slight element here as well that we're responsible for the goyim as well. We're really looking after ourselves. Right? But Darche Shalom, same idea, by the way, why you can save a goy drowning on Shabbos. Even though Mikra Adin, you can't Shmachal Shabbos save a goy. But we'll get to it in the Masechet later on. But for Darche Shalom, you can go and save a goy on Shabbos. For Darche Shalom, not Pikuach Nefesh. Important to understand the difference. I'm not being a racist. I'm saying halachically, seriously, I'm not trying to be even funny. I'm not even being facetious. Halachically, you couldn't say break Shabbos to save a goy. But for Darche Shalom, you can. The same idea over here. There's a bit of an element over here that we got responsibility for goyim, and therefore we feed them. The inyan isur torach shvut the rabbanan, but the inyan asiyach benachav yom tov isur deraita lo chashim. But if you got for melocha Shabbat or yom tov says Tosfot, don't go too far. For isur derabanan, we don't worry when it comes to Darche Shalom. For isur deraita, we don't do it. Interesting to be anyway. Okay, let's carry on. So now the Gemara carries on. Tarabanan, lo yaskir adam kelav. This is all brightness based on the Mishnah which we saw, Machloket Rashi and Rashi and Tos, Behilam et Shammai previously. Lo yaskir adam kelav lenochri v'shabbos. You can't rent a goy, according to Beit Shammai, your stuff Erev Shabbos. Right? Lo yaskir adam. Look at Rashi over here. The very last wide lines at the top. Lasot behen melacha b'Erev Shabbos. On a Friday afternoon, the guy wants to mow his lawn and he wants to come and rent your lawnmower from you. Erev Shabbos, you can't rent it to him. Right? Denire shemaskiro lo letzorech Shabbos, because it looks like he's going to give him actually on Shabbos. So he tells you, I want to Erev Shabbos. Everyone knows he's going to mow his lawn on Shabbos. Friday, who's got time Friday for him to mow their lawn? Right? Then, lo yaskir adam kuev lechrev Shabbos. Right? Ba'arba v'chambe, bedalu behay, on Wednesday or Thursday, mutar. That's the Gemara said, right? Chayotze bo ein meshalchin igrot beyad nochi b'Erev Shabbos. So too, you can't send a letter with a goy, deliver a mail with a goy Erev Shabbos. But b'dalu b'hei on Wednesday or Thursday, mutar. Now here we haven't seen Behilam Beit Shammai. We just think this is just Tanakama, right? So we'll see just now. We'll assume it's Beit Shammai. But the Gemara at the moment, you can't lend your something Erev Shabbos. And you can't send letters Erev Shabbos. If it's a Wednesday or Thursday, you can, because then at least looks like he's using it for that day. If he decides to keep it using it on Shabbos as well, okay. But you lent it him now, or you rented him now, you sent the letter now, there's a good chance you thought the goy could be finished his work on Shabbos. Now, on this last halacha here of sending a letter, it's quite amazing, this idea of post. We'll see that already Rashi speaking in that time, there's already the concept of postal service. It's quite amazing. I don't know, it boggled my mind. Rashi lived in when? He was born in 1040. So I say he lived till in the 1100s. In the 1100s, you'll see there's already a postal service. Right? It says, Amru alav Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. On this halacha of sending post, V'amre la Rabbi Yossi HaChassid. Some say it was Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Some say it was Yossi HaChassid. Shelo nimtza ketav yado beyad nochri me'olam. He never, ever, ever sent a letter with a goy. Look at Rashi. The second narrow lines of Rashi at the top there. Shlo yolichelu b'Shabbat. He was scared the goy might take it on Shabbos. That's how makpid he was. The Gemara carries on. Tara about another brighter. And by the way, I don't see any halochas being brought here. anybody's got a Gemara there with halachas, or I haven't looked, but if you can look there, Steve, or anybody else, Michael, if you can look there on your Gemara's there, I don't think that any of these things actually brought la halacha. Here comes a halacha. Now, and sending a letter is brought la halacha here. Right?
If a Jew sets a price in advance for a gentile to deliver a letter, the Jew may give the letter to a gentile on Shabbat at night. Shabbat even
now. Now that's the halacha coming up, Michael. That's the next halacha. That's coming up now. Tana Rabbanan. Ein meshalchin agerit b'yad nocher erev Shabbos. Ele im kein kotzetz lo damim. That's the halacha just read now. Shkok. That's coming up now. This is this halacha. Right? You can send it to him, provided you're paying him a fee. Right? That's what Tana Kama says. Look at Rashi. Then he kotzetz lo damim. The chayvan de kotzetz lo damim. Since he's paying him, but dilei torach is now his job. Is not doing it for you anymore. He's doing it for him. Right? If you're paying him, it's his job. You paid him. He's working for himself, not for you anymore. Ubeit Shammai lo modu bekitzetz. Rashi says even Beit Shammai hasn't agreed to that. Nonetheless, the afilu bekitzetz plig. Even with pligay, he argues as well. Taha lo adif mi mocher umashil v'noten matana. What's the difference if you give the guy, if you lend him something, or you give him something, you give him a gift? And even there, Beit Shammai says you've got to be careful that he gets law before Shabbos. Ela milta behilel ashvinan de bedlo kotzetz. Right, lo pigasu. Ever when there's no figure, when there's no money there, says Rashi, even Behilel would agree that if you don't pay him, right, he can't do it. So even Behilel saying, Rashi telling us the previous brighter, we spoke about sending a letter with a goy. We talk about a case where you didn't pay him, and there you everyone will agree where you did pay him as a machloket Rashi between Behilel and Beit Shammai. Behilel says if you paid him, it's okay. If you don't pay him, it's not okay. And Mishlachin, you go to Elim Kain Kotzadami. Beit Shama Omrim, Kadeshi, Agir, Abad. But it says, makes no difference if you pay him or not. The main thing is that the guy can get to the house before the four before. Now, whose house? Not the goy's house, to the person who you're sending the letter to. Look at Rashi there. Lebeito, Shomi She Nishlachlo, to the recipient of the letter. That's whose house we want it to be. Ubehir Omrim, Kadeshi, Agir. Now, the Gemara saying he sort of changes gear. We start off, Tana Kama says, Ein Meshachri Gabirachri, Elim Kain Kotzet Lo Damim. Then Beit Shammai says, Anesa can get to his house before Shabbos. Then Beit Hillel says, Kadesh Yagir Abaita Samuch Lechoma. And we saw this concept previously that on 2 days ago, right, about getting Lechoma. Right, we saw the same idea that you can send something with a goy as long as you get to the Choma. So he says, Aviyah Abaita Samuch Lechoma, Rashi says, Aviyah Abaita Samuch Lechoma Ta'ir Shenishlach Sham. So we don't worry about his house, but as long as it can make it to the first house inside the walls. Okay, that's a bit of a kula this better. So Gemara says, wait a second, my Lord Kitzetz. We're talking about a guy who was paid. What's Behilel on about here that it's got to make to the first walls? You've paid the guy. Once you've paid him, it's his problem. Look at Rashi, my Lord Kitzetz. V'amai Asher Behilel. Ha inu sharu le'el. Early on, we saw Tanakama said that it's mutar to send it if you paid him. And we're assuming now that the halacha there is like Behilel. So there we were matir, according to halacha, which is Behilel. Along, if you paid him, you can send it. And now suddenly, Behilel's coming along here with more limitations. That even if you paid him, it appears, he's still going to make it into the walls before Shabbos. So I'm Rav Shai Shedach, and this is how you've got to understand it. Im lo kitzetz, if you didn't pay him, Beit Shammai Omrim Ad She'agir Lebeito, Behilel Omrim Ad She'agir Lebeita Samuch Lechoma. That's what it's talking about. If you paid him, Behilel says, no problem, let him go. If you didn't pay him, Beit Shammai's logging. Beit Shammai's of the opinion, whatever the case, even if you pay him, He's got to make it into the walls. V'ha'amart, the Gemara says, Reisha ein Meshalchin. But I understand, now Beit Shammai says, it only makes it to the walls. But previously we saw Beit Shammai says, you can't send it at all. Look at Rashi, V'ha'amelo Meshalchin. Elim ken kitz, unless you paid him. So the Gemara says, you know what, so I want to actually correct myself now. I think I understood a little bit better now than I understood it previously. It appears that Beit Shammai, Hillel, don't agree where you paid, don't have a problem where you paid him. The problem is only where you didn't pay him. And if you didn't pay him, Beit Hillel says, he's got to get it to the house, Beit Shammai says, he's got to get it to the wall. And if you paid him, they're both teams, so that's okay. And that's the Rashi over there. So I think I misunderstood the Rashi. Rashi says, yeah, Tafilu bekitzetz pligi, Tarabi mochim shalavata, elamilta de behida ashwina de belo kotzetz. So he says, no, and lo pligi dasu. It seems like the machlokas where you paid him. The question is, lo kashlo de kashi, why? Hi, look at this. Ha de kabayi be doar bemata, vaha de lo kabir be doar bemata. Let's see if they've got a postal service in town or they haven't got a postal service in town. The Gemara is talking about a postal service. So I made a mistake. It's not even Rashi in the 11th century. It's the Gemara. Here in the 4th, 5th, 3rd, 4th, 5th century, he's speaking about a postal service. Look at Rashi here. Yeah? He says, ha amar teresha en meshachin. He says, doar, shilton ha'ir, the municipal government. Lo regilin ishloach ira, send letters. Look at Rashi, shchicha b'mate, in the town, it's common. Meshalchin below kutzet. If there's a postal service, you can send without paying the guy. B'chdei she'agia shaliach lemar lebeit ador. That's then we worry that you have to make the guy at least get to his house, his Beit Shammai. There's a postal service. Ulamar lebeit ha'samuch l'chomen, according to the closest wall in the city. That's what he says. He rechanges the whole structure. He says, now, what's the machloket? We're not discussing now paying or not paying. Paying or not paying is a discussion if there isn't a postal service. If there is a postal service, then the machloket is different. Then Beit Shammai says he's got to at least be able to get into the walls of the city. And Hillel says must get to the guy. Beit Shammai says to the guy's house, and Hillel says into the walls of the city. Vereisha, and the first and the beginning of the sugya is the ein meshalchin below kotzetz klal. You can't send there without paying at all. The Lord can be back to that's in a place where there's no postal service. And Beit Shammai's concern is what? If he doesn't find him, he's going to wander around all over Shabbos trying to find the guy. So when there's no postal service, Beit Shammai says, Beit Hillel says you've got to pay him, and Beit Shammai says, if you don't pay him, if you pay him, you can't do it. When there is a postal service, Beit Hillel says that then it's okay, and then Beit Shammai says at least he's got to still arrive at the city. So it depends on how it was. I think I got that right, I hope so. But okay, Tarabana. Now, here comes interesting halacha for the few of us on this shir that have been on a cruise in the last few years. We've all had to deal with this, right? And yeah, it's like, ein mafligin b'sfina pachot megimol yamim kodim l'shabbat. If you go on a cruise, right, you can't go, the Gemara says, Mefurash Gemara, even though for some reason today the halacha is not like this. I'm not 100% sure why, to be honest. A lot of people are makil. If you go on a cruise, you according to the Gemara, you aren't allowed to get on the boat less than 3 days before Shabbos. Right? Look at Rashi. Rashi explains there what mafligid means. He says, mafrishin min hayabasha layam. You leave the dry land and you go out to sea. Vezeu lashon haflagat sfina. That's what it means. Hashem, shem mafligat sbo min hayishuv. You separate yourself from the yishuv. Umarvinu umirabenu Yaakov, he says, shamati ba'eruvin, mesechet eruvin, shem tzaito shel yam nikra pilgus. At the middle of the sea is called the pilgus. So maflig means you go out to the pilgus. That's another thing. They gave two explanations. The one is maflig from the word palig, to split. You're separating yourself from the dry land to the sea. And the other explanation, according to Rabbeinu Shimon over here, is that pilgus is the middle of the yam. He says, v'af b'lashon loaz, pilgus. I don't know if you've heard of that word pilgus. I never heard of it before. He says, even in loaz, in the goyim use that word as well, pilgus is the middle of the sea. Anybody got a loaz erashi there at hand? I haven't got on the Gemara. Interesting Rashi says. So he says, 3 days before Shabbos. The worst luck is Bamed, when do we make this din? What's this halacha? The Davar HaShut. That you go on a journey for your, you chose to go. Aval the Davar HaMitzvah Shapir Dami. If you're going to go, God forbid, let's say for Pidyon Nefesh, to save somebody, or Pikuach Nefesh, or to, obviously, let's you want to go and try and rescue somebody, you want to go, you got a mitzvah to go and give a shir, or we're going, a mohel to go and make a bris. Then the din won't apply. Right? But look at this. The Gemara already gives you a bit of an out here. Uposek imo almenat lishbot. Now you've got a problem, right? Because the guy, you're hoping he won't be traveling on Shabbos. Says you make a deal with a guy. Uposek imo. Look at Rashi. Uposek imo anochri almenat lishbot. Right? You make a deal with a guy. I suppose you pay him even. For eino shovet, you're very bad. He doesn't have to actually stop for you. And Rabbi Shimon Megami Omer, eino tzarich. He says you don't have to make a deal with him. Umitzor letzidan, from a journey from Tzor letzidan, Rashi says over here, from Tzor letzidan, right, these are in Lebanon, I think. Ein ele mahalach yom, it's a very short distance. Ube'ev Shabbos hayasham yom ha-shukr. I mean, psachim v'makom shnagu. Obviously, in Tzor letzidan, there was a market there, so people would travel to go there, Shabbos, to buy stuff for the food. So afilu ev Shabbos mutar. If it's a close journey, says Gemara, if it's not a long journey, there's not a problem, you can go on the boat. If you know it's just a short hop and a skip, but if it's a long journey, then you shouldn't get on for less than 3 hours for Dvar Mitzvah. And if you're going to be on the boat of a Shabbos, make a deal with a goy. He'll stop for you for Shabbos, but if he doesn't stop, not the end of the world. According to Rebbe, and Rashbag says even that's not necessary.
What's the relevance of the 3 days, though?
3 days is so that probably so that you've got a good chance to get up before Shabbos.
But if you get on a boat and you know it's going to be a two-week journey.
So that's why he says, yeah, you make a deal with a guy, he'll stop for you for Shabbos. If he doesn't, not in the world. But when you got on, you were planning on getting off for Shabbos. Are you stuck on the boat? You are meant to jump off and swim over back to shore.
Yeah.
Now, anybody who wants to go on a cruise, I advise you to consult with your local Orthodox rabbi, because Today things have changed completely, well, and they're all at time. Even getting off a boat. I knew as a kid that even if you got on a boat before Shabbos, you can't get off till after Shabbos. Today, they all had tayrim. All these cruise companies have got all had tayrim. Why you can get off on Shabbos and walk around in a certain area. It's parutz.
What? Taking your family on vacation is dvar mitzvah.
Okay. Okay. Next sugar here. Okay. Ein tzarin al ayarot. Here's an interesting one. If you've got to put a siege on a city, we're talking about it at wartime now. So you're going to put a siege on a city. So Gemara says about it's a brighter. It's all Toseftas in Eruvin, actually. Ein tzarin al ayarot shel nochrim pachot begimo yamim kolim leShabbat. So lechatchila, you shouldn't go to war to go to siege a city less than 3 days before Shabbat. So, I suppose for the same reason. You don't want to be stuck there for Shabbos. So you allow yourself to try and finish the job and get home in time for Shabbos. However, says the Gemara, if you started already for whatever reason, you had to get there on you started, right? Already imagining the 3 days before Shabbos, ain mafsikin. Shabbos came, you have to stop. But Shammai, even Shammai himself, right? He used to say, "Ad ridata." Quite a pasuk in Dvarim. It's like a zrakashe teda kilo etz machalu otot ashrit. The Gemara telling you there that if you're going to have to tear down the trees around the city, you can't tear down fruit trees, right? V'charat uvanita matzor ala ir. Sorry, tashchit v'charat. Uvanita matzor ala ir. If you're going to put a siege on a city, asher he osa imcha milchama, that he's fighting with this, he's at war with you. Ad ridata, you wipe it down till you've pummeled it into the ground. So Shabbat is saying ad ridata till you got to get the job done. You got to get the job done. If you got to wait till Shabbos in the way, you got to carry on. You don't stop. That's where he learns it from. Afilu b'Shabbat. Now this was from our Mishnah. We had them. We had the dinner by Shabbat Hillel, and then we had a case where it was on Yud Chet, right? On Yud Chet Amud Aleph. Yesterday, stuff at the top. We said the Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, no hagina you beit Abba. And we said Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, they themselves are from the family of Hillel, right? He says shayu notnin kli lavan lechoves nochri choshavim kolim b'Shabbat. Even though Hillel said you can give the stuff to the nochri of Shabbos, but Shabbat said no. But Rashbag said that his family were machmir like Beit Shammai, not to give stuff to the launderer, right? Very close to Shabbos. So it's like a Zemir Gavishel. Tanya, we've got a bright over here. This is a bright that Tosefta on this Mishnah of Abad Sadok. Kachayam in Agosha Beit Rabban Gamliel. This is the whole dynasty there of Rabban Gamliel. Shayu notnin klei lavan nechoves. Shlosha yamim kodim leShabbat. Look at interesting. They gave white stuff, right? Their white stuff, their white clothes, before 3 days. Utzvuim afilu b'erev Shabbat. However, colored stuff, even erev Shabbos, they would give. And now he says an interesting thing over here. He says we learn from this. Nothing to do with the Shabbos. Umi divrehem lamadnu. Right. Look at Rashi. Umi divrehem lamadnu. V'naf kemina leschar hakoyes. So we see here there's a difference in the actual money you got to pay to the launderer. It's harder and more work to do the white goods than the colored ones. Right? So therefore, what it makes a difference in pay. You know, if you can give the guy Erev Shabbos, there's a good chance to get your colored goods back Erev Shabbos. Your white goods, you need at least 3 days to finish the process. So Abaya have a yayv lehu mana ditzvir lekitzra. Right? So now, Kitzra, Rashi says he has a koves. Rashi says Kitzri has a launderer. So Abaya would give his clothes to this launderer. Amari would say to him like this, "Come and buy it, Levi. How much do you want for it?" So Amar le kedechivra. Right? So he says, he gave his colored clothes to the launderer. And he says, "What's the price?" So the launderer said, "Amar le kedechivra," exactly the same price as the white ones. So Amar Le, Abai says to the launderer, "What are you talking about? Kfar kadamuch rabbanan. Our rabbis already come long before you. They prepared us for you." Right? Look at Rashi. Kfar kadamuch rabbanan. Shelamdunu shalevenim kashim lechapsan yotem natsvim. The Chachem taught us the white ones are more than the colored. What are you charging me the same price? It's pashut that the white ones are more expensive. The cheaper, the colored ones have to be cheaper. Give me a cheaper price. Amar Abaya, Haman the yayv man lekitcher b'mishcha. Right? So he says, yeah, this person who would give his clothes to a launderer, right? He says, yeah, b'mishcha. He says, yeah, how must he do it? B'mishcha nitivle or b'mishcha nishkomine. When you give it and you take it back, measure it. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Yimdedenu benetinato bechazato." Check it. In other words, they had measured dafka with a measuring tape, but check it before you when you give it in, when you get it back. Why? The itfei afsedei the matche, the ibatzi afsedei the kavze. See, because depending how he washed it, it might have shrunk or it might have stretched. Right. Look at Rashi here. Kvar kamera the mishche the kavze brotchin, which it stretched. If you wash it in warm water, it would shrink. Now we know there's some clothes you wash in warm water, they shrink. And some clothes you wash them in, and I don't know, maybe they stretch them out. So he might have messed up your clothes. So check before you gave it him what you gave him. Make it clear. Listen, I'm giving you the shirt, and this is what it looks like. This is the pair of pants. You get it back. Suddenly it's a long pair of trousers, or it's a short pair of trousers, and he's ruined your clothes. That's just a bit of Eitza from Chachamim on charging and giving stuff thing to laundries. Okay. Veshavi. Now the Mishnah we saw yesterday as well on Yudchet, the Mishnah said there, at the top of the Amud, Veshavin, Veshavin Elu Rabbi Hillel Bet Shammai agreed, Shetoanin Korot Bet Abad Veigule Hagat, that you can put this long pole of the wine press and the olive press onto the olives Erev Shabbos and let it carry on pressing of the stuff into Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Mashna Kulu de Gazu Bet Shammai Umashna Korot Bet Abad Veigule Hagat Lo Gazu. Says the whole mission that we had, all those examples which we brought there, if you remember, we brought there yesterday, we had this whole list. We had Bachelor Miloyim Koradam Heftso, you can't sell to a goy, you can't lend to a goy, you can't give him stuff unless you get it back and get his house. Rabbi says, no problem. Rabbi Akiva says, then we said, I'm reading the wrong place. Oh, that was the brighter. The Mishnah was on Yud Zayin, I think, at Amud Bet. Yes. Bachelor Yud Zayin Amud Bet. Bachelor says, ain't shorin dayor, you can't soak the dyes and you can't soak the herbs. And this will be ready. And Beit Shammai says you can't put the bundles of flax into the oven, etc. Beit Shammai says you can't put out traps. But one second, the brighter was that yes. That's it. I'm in the right place. Correct. All those things over there. And then we said, however, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree about sticking on these heavy beams onto the olives and to the grapes. So the gross question, I don't understand. Why here? Beit Shammai is not gozer. In all the other examples, he was gozer. You can't do it. And suddenly with Korot Beit Abad, Vigulei Hagat, with the wine press and the olive press, he said, look at that problem. So the gross says, no. What's the reason? Henach, di abad lo b'shabbos mechayiv chatat. Gazer Beit Shammai, Erev Shabbos b'chashaycha. He says, why? All the other examples with the dyes and the pishtan and everything, if you did it on Shabbos, you'd be chayv v'chatat. So when you be chayv v'chatat, Beit Shammai is saying, Erev Shabbos, we're making a gzera. In case you come to do it on Shabbos. With the Beit Abad and the Korah, what's the big deal? Even if you put it on Shabbos, it wouldn't be a problem. So therefore, they weren't kosher. They said, you can leave it. No problem. Not a chatat. Why? We're going to see in a few minutes, that this process gets quite tricky. I'm not sure 100% understand the process, but it seems like there are three levels of crushing when you're preparing the wine or the olives. The first one is risuk. Right, I wrote these things down here. It's to actually do the proper crushing. There are sect, like you make risuk agvanio, you make tomato puree, right? You crush it. So the first stage is the crushing. Then you've got dicha, which is the ground grinding, gets further stuff. And then you've got the shchika, which is probably like it translates shchika into I don't know to pounding it or what did I write over here? Compressing it. I think I understood. So you've got like three different levels, and each stage you're getting more and more and more close to getting the juice out of it. So the question is, we'll see just now, what are we speaking about? How processed were these grapes or olives already the time that you stuck these beams in for the last stage? The words, are you doing something which was an Issur D'oraita on Shabbos or not? But Shabbos says, no, we'll see in a second in a few minutes, what this is all about. So that's the basic answer the Gemara gives, because these melachos, if you did them on Shabbos, would be okay. So therefore, lo gazru bo Beit Shammai. So the Gemara says like this, man tana, midi de ati mimele shafri dami. Who's the tana that says anything that at the end of the day comes out on its own? If you started a process, but in the end, things work on its own and you aren't involved, it's mutar. Like here, where you stick the beam on and the grape juice runs out. There's something resting on it. There's pressure being brought to bear on these grapes, on these olives, and the juice carries it running out. You're not doing anything. Who's the tana who said that's mutar? So I'm Rabbi Yossi, but the Masorah Shas changes Baruch into Barebi Chanina. That's Amrab Yossi Rabbi Chanina, who is the Tana Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel. Ditna, and he quotes a Mishnah over here, and this is a Mishnah from Masechet Eduyot. He says, Hashum, the garlic, Vaboser, Rashi says, yeah, Boser is unripe grapes, right? Hamililot. Right, so look at Rashi here. Mililot are like little kernels of grain. Look at Rashi here. Boser. He says, Rashi says about Atim America, God, Mashkara, Lakish, Nishatir, Balehem, Vivad, Shechim, as long as you started the process of Shabbos, now they carry on into Shabbos. Who's the Tan? Is it Mutar? So he says, over here, what's Boser? Boser, Arvim, Bitchila Tan, Keshen, Dakim, little grapes. Motzimehen, Mashkin, Letavel, Bubasar. So he says, the juice coming out of this is really just good for gravy. To like, Lefishahu, Chazak, Vekrub, Lachachmet. It's very strong grapes, and it's almost like almost vinegar type of grape. Right, and merilot shibulin shelo bishlu kol tzorchan. These are kernels of grain that aren't fully cooked, aren't fully ripened. Mirasakan v'tonin abavanim. You basically crush them and you put them under heavy stones, grindstones. Umashke zavin. You get a bit of liquid out of them. From the liquid, you can get a bit of a gravy as well. Okay, so these aren't really major drinks. It's like a very processed type of idea, and that's why we'll see that you've got to go through all these processes to get the actual drinks out of it. So who's the Tana? He says Rabbi Shmuel, because he quotes the Mishnah that the garlic or the bosel, the melilot, she riskan me, but you've already done risuk. Remember I said three stages, right? Risuk, dicha, and shchika. So you've already done risuk, the first stage, Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel omer, yigmor mishe techshach. You can carry on the process after Shabbos once it gets dark. In other words, you've done the risuk, you now stick this heavy thing on it and let the process work for it. Rabbi Akiva, in that bright Mishnah over there, Rabbi Akiva says, lo yigmor. You can't finish Machlok, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Akiva. And there, Rabbi Yossi tells us that, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, that the Tana of our Mishnah, over here, this halacha is Rabbi Shmuel. Well, Machlok Amorai, right? Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is an Amora. And now, Rabbi Elazar, Ami Rabbi Elazar. Now, Rabbi Elazar says Rabbi Elazar. Okay, so who's Rabbi talking? Rashi fills us in the gaps, yeah? Rashi says, yeah, especially the Rashi there, Asula Nicham, Ibod Yom Tachat Kovdan, Kirea Ligmor, Rabbi X says, you call him a sticker under the heavy stuff because you're going to finish the job. Now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi says, Rabbi Elazar, who Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat to Amora. So we've got Rabbi Elazar on Amora, we've seen him plenty of times, he's an Amora, and Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. And Rashi says, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Stam Rabbi Elazar shall Mishnah or Brighta. Whenever you see Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, it's Jerry Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, and the Amora is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat is cholek Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina. He says, who's the Tana who tells us these halachas? It is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. And he quotes another Mishnah over here, which is in our Masechet later on, in about 120, about 3 months time, we'll come to it. Where is it? In Kuf Mem Gimel. So he says like this. Did not go to Mishnah. Chalot vash sheriskan brev Shabbos. If you got honeycomb, right, which you did risuk, again, the first stage, you squashed it Erev Shabbos. Vayatsu me'atzman asur. Tanakama says, and now during Shabbos, the honey that comes out of his asur, Rabbi Elazar matir. Rabbi Elazar says mutar. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat says that this is asugya. We learn from the honey. And Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina says, no, we learn it from the case of the shum and the boser and the melilot, and that's Rabbi Ishmael. So the Gemara said like this, Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, my time with Rabbi Elazar. Why are they disagreeing? Why does the one bring it from the honeycomb and the one brings it from the garlic and the grapes and the melilot? So Amalecha, what would Rabbi Yossi say to you? Hatam hu demi kara ochel ubesof ochel. There, the example you brought with regards to honey. So honey is food. Honey is always food. Honey is never a drink. It started off food and it remained food. So it's not the same. We're talking about, in our case of with grapes and wine, in our Mishnah, there it started off as food and it became a liquid. So he says, yeah, hach, in our example, mi kara ochel vash demashka. It was food, now it's drink. So therefore, I prefer my example, says Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina. My example with the garlic and the grapes is much closer to our Mishnah. So now it was the same question, Rabbi Lazar. Why did he not say like Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina? So Amar Lecha, he would say to you, no, that's not a good answer. What's my reason? Hashulei Rabbi Lazar, da'afilu zaitim va'anavim namishari. He says, why are you assuming that Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua in that Mishnah is only matir for honey? And therefore you say that we can't use the Mishnah because they're different. He says, I'm telling you, the Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua will tell you can do the same thing with grapes and with olives. And therefore, it's a much closer story to our Mishnah we talk about grapes and olives. The ha, ki atri Rav Hoshea min Naharda. When Rav Hoshea came from Naharda, right? Now, Rav Hoshea is one of the Tanas of the Brightest, right? We've got Brightest and Tosefta, Rav Hoshea, right? He says, Atav Aitim Matnitabe. He brought a Brighter in his hand. He came with a Brighter and he taught us a Brighter. And he said like this, Zaitim va'anavim, olives and grapes. Exactly our Mishnah. Sheriskan mi Erev Shabbat. If you did the first stage of Risuk, of this grounding Erev Shabbos, V'yatsu me'atzman asur. Tana Kama says asur on Shabbos to carry on the process. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, and Rabbi Shimon matirid. So therefore, why are you telling me there his example is about honey and honey's food, and my example is about the garlic, his grapes? Yeah, I got a brighter. It says exactly the same thing. So the question is, why did Rabbi Yossi now, Rabbi Chanina, not mention this brighter? How come he never knew this? Because the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, brighter lo shmir, they never knew the brighter. Unbelievable. Now, this bothered me a lot yesterday. How could you not know the brighter? So I looked around, there's a note over here, actually, the Steinzeit, the art scroll here brings a note, that even though the Amoraim knew all the Mishnahs, they never necessarily knew all the brighters. There were brighters that they never all knew. Because it's a big kasha. How can an Amora not know them, not know this? He says it pashut. That Mishnahs they knew, but brighters they never knew. Okay, which is actually quite interesting, because I don't know if I told you that I saw an article I'm busy researching it with Rav Baruch, we're looking into it, but that somebody wrote a commentary on a Gemara in about the 1800s, and it was translated into English, and he mentions there that that Shmuel and Rav and Shmuel's whole Batei Midrash, their whole purpose was to promote Rebbe's, I think we discussed it a few days ago, was to promote Rebbe's Mishnah. And it appears that not everybody accepted Rebbe's Mishnayot as the canon of Mishnayot. And there were some who wanted to push up Oishia's brighters and the brighters. There's a bit of a battle between them. It was Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Oishia in terms of pushing their brighters as opposed to Rebbe's Mishnayot. And in the end, the Mishnayot even include a couple of brighters which weren't in Rebbe's Mishnayot. It seems like not everybody agreed with Rebbe on what he did as the Mishnayot. So this makes
it. Why would it surprise you?
Why does it surprise me? Because I always understood that once Rebbe had finalized the Mishnahs, everybody accepted those as the Mishnayot, and that's the Gemaras were based on the Mishnayot. So even if there were people who didn't accept it, the Gemara seemed to have accepted. Yeah, you're seeing that there were brighters that Amoraim didn't even know about because maybe they thought they weren't important. They learned the Mishnahs of Rebbe. I don't know. That's already a bit of the interpretation. Yeah. Let's carry on. But nonetheless, the Gemara is not scared to say that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina never knew this brighter. Somebody never knew it. Okay, Rabbi Lazar. So now the Gemara is, okay, so Rabbi Lazar, my time, Lomar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So still, even if we say that it's all the same, we've got this Mishnah over here, and we see that Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, and at the end of the day, and Rabbi Yishmael are more or less saying the same thing. So why did it was so important to Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat to Dafka quote the name of Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, not to also quote Rabbi Shmuel's name? So Amar Lecha, it's like it's love it, but haven't we learned about this? He says, Amar Rabbi Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said as follows, B'mechusarin dika de kula al melo pligi. Ki pligi b'mechusarin shchika. He says like this, when we said that they're different levels, so we had that the Risuk was the first stage, then there will be dika, the next stage, a further stage of grinding, and then shchika is the last stage. So says Rabbi Elazar, or Rabbi Elazar would answer that Rabbi Bar Chanina retorts to Rabbi Yochanan that when the food is at a stage where it hasn't got dika yet, but you've done risuk but you haven't done dika, then the kula amelo pligi. Look at Rashi over here. But mechusar in dika kula amelo pligi da asiri. If you haven't at least had the two stages in the three stage process of crushing, everyone says you can't put the beams on Shabbos. The te'inatan, he gomeret. Because when you stick those beams on, that is the dik over here. And that's helping to finish off the job. V'nimtza kol asui b'shabbat. And then everything's done on Shabbos. Right? And that mishnah which we say, we don't want, right? Ki pligi, where's the machloket here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, between Rabbi Elazar and who was it in our mishnah over here? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Chanina says, And Tanakama there says Asur, Rabina says Mutarina, Tanakama is there. Where's there? Kibi Mechusarin Shchika. That's only the last stage. Because basically, so now let's go, sorry about that. So Amar Rabachan, Mechusarin Dika, the Kuram Elo Plige. When it was Chaser Dika, everyone said you couldn't use it. Ki Plige Mechusarin Shchika. That was the Machlok. The Machlok was the later stage. So we said, the Kuram Elo Plige Mechusarin Shchika. Bahani Nami, Mechusarin Dika, Damu. And he says, ah, Gemara, we speak about our case of here. What's our case? Our case is Mechusar Dika. Right? So now there's a problem. Why did we have to? So therefore, so our question over here was, right? At the end of the day, we said, so Rabbi Lazar, my Tavla Rabbi Yossi Barachan, you know, why did Rabbi Lazar not want to mention Rabbi Yossi Barachan? He said, he didn't want to make our case, Rabbi Ishmael. Because everybody agrees over there that it's us. So we couldn't bring Rabbi Ishmael into a case. So we'll be speaking about something which was us. Because everybody agrees that if it's Mechusar Dika, it's us. And we try to explain the case previously. Rabbi Ishmael was even talking about a case of Mechusar Dika. Therefore, he took it out. Now, the verse says, V'horah Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Ishmael. Right, but in the end, he gave a practical answer. He said, no, Rabbi, it seems to me like Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina was making a big kula of it, Rabbi Ishmael. Right, just giving you advice at the end, even though Rabbi Lazar didn't want to paskin like him, Rabbi Yossi had no problem paskining like Rabbi Ishmael, the lochit like Rabbi Ishmael at the end of that sugya. Okay, the Gemara carries on now. While we're on the back of this, there's a long tosot. If you look at that tosot here, Shemen Shel Badin. So he tries to tie in this sugya to the previous sugya. But we'll see that because the Gemara brings another example. Shemen Shel Badadin. Now, olives of the Badadin, right? What does it mean, Shemen Shel Badadin? Right? Rashi says over here, if you look at Rashi, Aidi da Airi Bebeta Bad, since we were discussing olive presses, Nakat le Shemen Amish, we're discussing this sugya. And what's it about? He says, Nakat le Shemen Amishtayer Bezaviot Abad Tacharatina. The olive that's left, like in the corners of the presses, under this press, right? For who nitan le Badadin, and they used to give it to the workers. The Badadin is a person who works in a Shem in a Beit Abad. The chain machatzalot shel Badadin, also the machatzalot, the like the what do you call a machatzelet? Is like the things you sit on. What's it called? What's a machatzelet? Help me out. What's a machatzelet? No, a mat. Thank you. Right, like a mat. Right, the machatzalot shel Badadin. So these things. Right, look at Rashi there. Rav Asar Ushmuel Shari. What does it mean? What does it mean, Asar v'Shari? Rav Asar letil tule mishum mukta. So on Shabbos, you can't take because mukta, the oil that was left behind there, or the mats which they would use, mukta. The Rav Savar krabi hudu mukta. We'll come to this later on in the Gemara when we discuss the introduction as well, that Rav Shmuel argued a lot of stuff about Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's pretty strict about mukta. Ushmuel Savar krabi Shimon delaytle mukta. Right, and Rabbi Shimon is pretty makel. He says only muktzah on tzimukin and grogarot when it comes to raisins and grogarot or that dried figs. We'll see. We'll come to that later. That leave on the roof to dry, etc. We'll come to that in the sugya over here. In that sugya over there. So basically, Rav says it's asur, and Shmuel says mutar. It seems like the halacha over here is like Rav and is like Shmuel, even though it's isurim. Normally, like when it comes to isurim, we should pass it like Rav. Nonetheless, Shmuel says mutar. Got an aggressive dog here this morning. He's also being troubled by being stuck indoors all day. Right? Right. And then the Gemara carries on. It's another example. Hani karche de zuza. Not an easy morning here this morning, eh? Another example over here. Hani karche de zuza. What a karche de zuza? Rashi says, yeah, karche de zuza is zog shel machatzalot. So these are like pairs of mats. She mechasim behedet pragmatia shel svina. That you used to cover all, if you're on a boat and you're carrying a lot of produce or stock or your stuff on the boat, you cover it over the boat. V'zuzei lashon zug. Rashi says that karche de zuzei, zuzei means zug, means two. Fisha en shtayim vasyot kohel. Right, in the Truvat Kohen, he brings another example. That's good enough. Rashi, Rav, again there. So these mats that you would use to cover all your goods on the boat. Rav asar ushmuel shari. So here again, Rav says asur ushmuel shari. Right, so now we've got two machlokot here between Rav and Shmuel with regard to things that are muktzah on Shabbos. So I'm Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says like this, Ez lechelva, a goat which you use for milk, whereas the purpose of this goat is to milk with, V'rachel legizata, and a rachel is a female sheep, right, legizata, it'd be used for its wool. Purpose of having this for wool. Vetarnagolet lebeitzata, and a chicken which you use for growing. In other words, all these animals, they're not there for eating. Haven't got the eyes to shecht it, or the rachel, or the I think eyes and rachel. I think is rachel a female goat, not a female sheep. I think, eh? Yeah, a female sheep. Rachel is a female something, female sheep. Right. Vetarnagolet and all these oture deridia. Right, and ture, look at Rashi here. What's a ture deridia? It's over here, ha'omed l'charisha. So this is like a farming ox that you use for plowing. V'tamre de'iska. And tamre de'iska, or ha'omdin lo l'chini schora l'makom acher. So you've got tamarim, which you're going to sell. You haven't got them there to eat. They're there to sell. Right? So all these things, Rav Asar u'Shmuel Amar Mutar. So another machloket, a third machloket, Rav u'Shmuel. Now we'll see that some of these things are actually to do with Yontif, not to do with Shabbos. So the first two examples of the Zog, of the Machatzeret, and of the Shemen, of the Badin of Shabbos. The case now of the animals, if you look here, right? So there, and the Gemara says like this, Rav Shmuel Amar Mutar. Ukamifligay, what's the machloket between the two of them? They're arguing around another machloket. Beplugta, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. That's the machloket of Muktzah. We saw it a second ago. The Rabbi Yehuda says there's lots of muktzah on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says no. I think here Rashi says that it's only grugarot and tzimukin. Look at Rashi there. The first wide lines of the Rashi, the bottom. It says, "Pukta Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda de itle muktzah perek acharon." We'll see it later on. Daf kuf nun vav. Asur leshochtan beyom tov. Elim ken hisminan mi b'od yom. So in this examples here of the goat and the sheep and the cow and the ox and all those things, you weren't wanting to eat the animal. You were using the animal for other purposes. So says Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, from a shechting on Yontif point of view, because normally on Yontif you can shecht animals, no problem. You can cook animals, you can shecht. If you want to, because today you probably can't, because you can keep meat in a fridge. But in their time, there weren't fridges. So you wanted fresh meat. You couldn't kill it on Wednesday, Thursday. It could go off by Yontif. You shecht it on Yontif in the morning, and you make a supper. So there, you says Rabbi Yehuda, you can't use these animals. Why? Because these animals weren't there to be eaten. These animals were there for their other purposes. That as far as eating is concerned, muktzah. Well, Rabbi Shimon Shah, Rabbi Shimon says no, it's not a problem whatsoever. You can use it. Right? So he says over here, now the Gemara brings some examples here. Hahu Talmida, the Ore Bachart, Bechirte de Argis, Rabbi Shimon, there's a machloket here, Rav says, Asur, Shmuel says Mutar, right? And we said it's a Plugta, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. This is based on the machloket, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says there is Muktza, Rabbi Shimon says there isn't Muktza. Now if you look over here, right, so the Gemara says there was this Talmid, who paskened halocha, right? The orei. Right? What do you mean orei? That he paskened halocha, bechirta, Rashi is bechirta, in this town called Chirta, Shema Makom, the Argis. Look at this, the name of like a town, like Tel Mond, right? Named after Lord Mond, he is the one who built the town. The same idea here. Becharta the Argis. Look at Rashi. Adam echadaya, amgushi, shebana lo tahair. He built the town, named after him. Veravim nuna, darba. And Rav Yimnuna lived in that town. Vadayin ma'arat kevurato kayemet. Rav Yimnuna's grave is still in that town. Right? Kach matzati, which we found a tshuva of some gaonim, says Rashi, where he still lived in that town. Anyhow, what's the story? So this Talmid, Paskin Locha, like Rabbi Shimon, he was very makil on Muktza. Shamtai Rav Yimnuna. Rav Yimnuna, Rashi's telling us Rav Yimnuna lived in that town. He was obviously the Talmid, the gadol of the town. And he put him into Chayrim. So he says, but I understand, what's the problem? Why put him to Chayrim? V'hak Rabbi Shimon Tzvir Lan. We pasken like Rabbi Shimon, says the Gemara. What's the problem? We hold like Rabbi Shimon. Why was he putting him to Chayrim? What did he do wrong? Look at Rashi. V'hak Rabbi Shimon Tzvir Lan. Us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down in Rashi. Hashtaked lekaman. V'amai shamtei. Rashi says, we'll see later on. On that besechet over there, on Daf Tzadikai, the Masorah Shah sends us there. We'll see that the halach is like Rabbi Shimon. V'amai shamtei. So he says, "Why Mashamte? But Atrei de Rav Hava, because even though Rav Yimnuna might have been the guy there, that was Rav's place, and Rav, right? And Rav was Asur. Rav Asur. We saw that the Rav and Shmuel argued around the machloket of Rav Yehuda, that Bracha Rav Shimon, and Rav Paskin like Rav Yehuda. And therefore, lo ibai that he shouldn't have done that. Now, I'm not sure, to be honest with you, if what Rav Yehuda was upset about was that he paskened halacha because Rav was there, and therefore he shouldn't have paskened halacha in front of Rav, or that he paskened halacha against Rav, and Rav was there, and he shouldn't have paskened halacha against Rav. But I think the first expression is a better explanation. Am I right? Yeah, the how Ira is knocking, nodding his head. Okay, right. So how do you try to tell me that? Gemara carries on another example. How do you try to tell me that? Matzil b'chad mana b'chad matzil b'chad mesh mana. Now the Gemara is just referring us there to a machloke which we'll see later on in the Masechet. That if there's a fire, look at Rashi, what does it mean matzil b'chad mana is a fire? Now the question is, how much can you save on Shabbos in a fire and take it out into an Eruv Chatzor? Now let's say the Eruv Chatzor is where you're allowed to carry stuff into, don't trust the Rabbi. Into Erev Chatzerot, how much of your stuff can you carry? So the concern here was, you look at Rashi over here, Chad Matzil Ochlin Umashkin Mipnei Adleika, food and drink from the fire, Harbei Lachatzah Murevet, a lot, and Bechad Mana, but in one basket, Kritnan Matzilin Sal Malei Kikarot Afagav Sheshbo Meya Seudot. He says, as long as it's in one basket, take as much as you like. That was the one opinion. V'chad matzil ba'arbe v'chamesh mane. One used 4 or 5 baskets. Ele shemekaplan kulan etoch kli gadol v'nosam v'pamachat. But then he put it all into one basket and took it out. We'll get to that sugi later on. But the bottom line is, the general halacha is that you're allowed to save enough food for 3 seudot. We'll come to that. We'll see this later on. We'll become better. This is just a bit of a teaser for later on. Let's quickly just do the Mishnah here. Ein solin basar b'tzelu. We saw this already, this Mishnah before. We saw this on yesterday's daf. Ain soli basar batzalu beitza. You shouldn't cook meat and eggs and onions. Unless they'll be cooked in time for Shabbos. Ain lo pada tanurim chashech. You should put bread into the oven if it's dark. Velo charara gabigachem. Some sort of like this is a charara. Rather, the Kut Rashi here says that a charara is like a bread of the workers. Shofima like a bit. Oh, you cook on open coals. So like a big chunk of dough which you'd like bacon, open coals. Unless the crust will form while it's still a day. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and Rabbi Eliezer says no, as long as only the bottom has to be crusted. Meshalshinat Pesach betanurib chashecha. You can put the Pesach into the oven on chashecha. Umachizine taur b'medrot beit hamoked, and you can prepare the fire in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Beit HaMoked. Now Rashi says over here, why can you put do the Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach, before Nata? Why aren't we worried? Look at Rashi here. V'hu nitzlav olech mishetach shech afagaz deba'al me'en tzolin kramiran ha'cheshare tebenei chabur ezrizin ha'en v'darche ha'adadeh v'lo atu latu v'chari. We're speaking about Shabbos now, Erev Shabbos, Korban Pesach, because you're going to have your whole chabur there. No one's going to go and start stoking the coals. Everyone will remind you. So there's a lot of people to warn you. Therefore, it's not a problem. And the same thing with the Kohanim. We already seen this before plenty of times. In the Beit HaMoked, there's a big fire for the Kohanim to sit there in that room and keep themselves warm. Again, over there, says Rashi, Nishka Gedola. And we learned in the Masechet Zvachim. He said, Hoyel Veritzba Mekudeshet. They had to walk around barefoot, right? And Rashi, Ubegvulin, Kedeshe Techoza Urberobo, right? And if you're outside the Beit HaMikdash, the Gvulin is outside Beit HaMikdash, right? So there, you have to light fires. The fire had to have at least caught hold before Shabbos. The Buddha says, but Pechamin, if it's a coal type of fire, says Rabbi Yehuda, right? if the fire was from coals, and tzarich lachiz ben ur el a little bit of like just have to have caught a light, the embers have to just be a little bit burnt, you have to have a whole flame, and then he leket v'olechet, the ain dark liot kabah v'olechet, v'ain tzarich lidchot ba, because you don't have to do anything, it will eventually work on its own. Sorry for the mess up today with a bit of that electricity, we'll carry on tomorrow. Bye.